Hello, ladies and gentlemen out there in podcast land. Welcome back to the very first episode of Spoilers, your weekly movie podcast under the Rat Pack Podcast Network, where we discuss movies, we spoil them, we discuss movie news, and everything else in between. Today, we'll be kicking off this very celebratory event with 1993's Jurassic Park, directed by Steven Spielberg.
All right.
But before we get there, we're going to talk news. We're going to do news. We're going to do the news segments. First, let me introduce myself. My name is Hollywood, and I have here...
Maestro.
I'm Adam.
I'm Cowboy.
And that is our crew.
See ya.
Might be an alternating crew, but usually this will be the usual foundation of the crew.
Yep.
So, gentlemen, news. Let's discuss news, first of all.
Let's do it. What do you got?
Okay, I'm just going to throw out... News segment is just going to be a bunch of little, you know... hits in the news and just your opinion on him.
That's bullshit. I don't believe that. was that news? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I disagree with Cowboy. I think it was very founded in factual evidence.
Put it on paper.
All right.
Then we have statistics.
What are we talking about?
Huh?
News.
All right.
First bit of news. Dumb and Dumber 2 gets financing and will bring back Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels.
Ooh.
You guys excited?
Jeff Daniels, yes. Jim Carrey...
Maybe.
But you can't have the dumb without the dumber.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You can have too much dumb, which I think.
Oh, you're dumb.
Was it called Dumber and Dumberer?
That was a prequel.
That was the prequel.
Yes, right. That was the prequel.
When Harry met Lloyd.
Crap.
Yes. I got worms.
Oh.
That's what we're going to call it.
I got worms?
Our worm store.
I thought we were going to call it I'm Pretty Bird.
All right.
Oh, Pretty Bird.
Oh, Pretty Bird.
Pretty Bird.
I did not like Dumb and Dumber because I ironically thought it was too dumb. and made me feel dumber. That's what it came down to.
So you related to it really much.
It hit too close to home.
Oh, my God.
That's how it came down.
He was depressed.
No.
He's like, this shouldn't be Dumb and Dumber. This is my diary.
And no, it's just the type of comedy in it, I relate much to like a Ben Stiller movie where it's stupid, like over the top, dumb.
Yeah.
Where it's dumb to the point of irritating, not to the point of funny. Like, that. There's no way that could ever happen in real life. There's nobody that stupid, and a lot of dumb people. But that level of dumb, I think, was just like, it was too over the top, and I couldn't... There's some good lines. I'll give it good lines. But as far as the whole concept of it, like, they should be in a hospital somewhere.
Well, hold on a second. This is the news. This is not what we're trying to review here.
Yeah, but Mary Swanson's ass was awesome.
That's okay? Very true. Yes.
Swanson?
Samsonite?
That's my favorite line of the whole movie, the Samsonite thing. That's my favorite bit of the entire movie.
Really?
They're trying to figure out the name of the, what's her name? Slappy, Swaffer, and read the briefcase.
Oh,
Samsonite.
We were way off.
Because we use that in our day-to-day life. We say something that's like so far off from what we were trying to say.
Oh, you have to say Samsonite.
Samsonite.
I didn't know as a kid, that movie came out when I was a kid, I didn't know what Samsonite was. I didn't know it was a brand of briefcases. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, Samsonite? What does that mean?
Right.
I'm old.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I think it's going to be good as far... it's gonna bring in the nostalgia. It's essentially gonna be us, people our age who watch the original. Jim Carrey's not as big of a star as he used to be. So they're kind of hoping that he still has that star power left in him to bring the audience back.
I still think he'll be over the top. Like he was.
I mean,
before.
That's how it's always has been. I mean, he's gonna have the bowl cut with the weird teeth in the middle.
Yeah, he'll bring Fire Marshal Bill.
Yeah.
I do enjoy him as an actor. I do like his stuff that sometimes over the top, but like in Ace Ventura, he was over the top, but it was in a comedic way. But then he also does the serious stuff. What was it, 13 was a serious role.
23, Truman Show.
Truman Show was amazing. Mm-hmm. And amazing in that.
Liar, Liar.
That wasn't
as funny. It was a little more sappier.
It was a little over the top as well, but not so over the top where I felt Dumb and Dumber for watching it.
What was that one movie where you had to play where a guy that lost his memory and he was in this town and they accepted him for who he was?
The Majestic.
That's
also a decent movie. Yeah, so I feel like it'll probably get a lot of people like us, like you're saying, watching it, but I don't think it's going to attract new people to watch the older ones.
As long as they bring back the Shaggin' Wagon. that thing was awesome.
Next bit in the news. Rumors are circulating that Warner Brothers is working on an Aquaman film. What are your thoughts?
I like the Family Guy bit. The one where he's just like, hey, if you were in this water, throws a starfish at him. He's like, "Yeah, I'm calling the police." Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What is he gonna do? Really? What's he gonna do?
I'm assuming this movie's gonna do as well as it did in that movie Entourage, or there's a TV show called Entourage.
Oh, yeah.
Where, something Chase, Vinny Chase.
Vinny Chase was
Vinny Chase played Aquaman, and apparently didn't do so well. Or maybe the sequel flopped.
It was the biggest blockbuster.
Was that right?
Like ever, cause James Cameron directed it. Okay. In the show.
Was it the sequel that flopped then, or something? I feel like some part of that was floppy.
I haven't seen Entourage in a while.
Like a fish flopping around, maybe.
Oh, I don't know.
See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody?
Might as well go with the water ball, too, with Aquavita.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of Aquaman because it just seems like it was a forced superhero. Like, uh-huh. They're trying to think of something for the ocean. We can't do Poseidon because that's an actual person. So, Aquaman, talks to fish. Whoopity-doo.
Isn't that the same thing as Poseidon almost?
But he's a god.
Yeah, he's the god of the sea. Yeah,
Poseidon's a god.
Yeah, I know.
Aquaman is a man in the aqua.
What about King Triton from Little Mermaid?
Well, he's half fish.
Oh, yeah.
He's half fish.
He's a merman.
He's a merman. He was the merman king.
Ah.
See how many chicks he had around him?
Yeah.
Even though most of them were his daughters?
It doesn't matter.
It was a different time. It was a different time.
Different area of the world, you know?
Warner Brothers,
you can get away with that.
Warner Brothers is doing this to build the Justice League because they have the Man of Steel. They already have the Batman movies.
So this will be live action then?
It's going to be live action. Okay. Yeah. So they're trying to copy Marvel's approach where they have Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, these individual movies.
And then they come out with the Avengers.
And then they come out with their Justice League, which is the team.
Yeah, Green Lantern,
Flash, Wonder Woman.
I would really like to see the Flash over any other one of them.
He's very entertaining. He's like Spider-Man. He cracks jokes.
Yeah, he cracks jokes and he's fast. Yeah. That sounds crazy.
I will watch it. I don't think I'll enjoy it, but I think I will have to watch it just because it is a superhero movie, which I tend to enjoy.
Will there be alcohol involved?
Yeah.
I'm there.
Captain Morgan on the seas watching.
That's a good one. Next bit of news. Josh Whedon, director of the Avengers, announced that Loki is not in the Avengers 2. Do you care?
Thank God.
We're done with that guy. I thought we were done with him after the first one.
Yeah, we're done with him.
He's in the Thor sequel.
Well, yeah, but that's because the Thor sequel.
Come on, man.
I mean, how many times is he going to... Okay, the first Avenger movie, he was the main bad guy. Well, at least one of the main bad guys. And the second one, he has no part to play in this entire movie. I mean, like, who's the...
You can't recycle villains.
You can't... Yes, you can, but you shouldn't.
All right, but not like that. I mean, like, Scarecrow made an appearance in a Batman movie, but, like, it was a very small role.
No, he actually made two appearances.
Yeah. Okay, but it was... All I'm saying is...
He's been recycled.
All right, small role, though. Small role. I mean, I guess Loki can have, like, a walk-on, like, hey, I have these other guys going to get you this time, my pretties.
Well, the thing about it is in the first Avengers, the main bad guy wasn't really Loki. He was just being a tool.
Right.
Yeah. So the main bad guy is the one supposed to take his place this time.
Okay. So let's get
Thanos. What's his name? Thanos.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
I got gummy worms.
All right.
Fantastic. I'm not a Loki fan. I grew up reading comics. I love comics.
Yeah.
Loki is the reason the Avengers were formed in the original Avengers comics in the
60s. Okay.
I'm just not a Loki fan. And I don't like the actor who played him in these movies. It's British guy. I forgot his name. I just don't like him.
That's fine.
I couldn't see them being brothers.
I thought he was French.
I couldn't.
I don't know. All our heroes are Brits now.
European. Some sort of European.
Yeah. They're all European.
Yeah.
Like all our superhero movie characters.
Well, come on. Dude, for instance, the TV show House. He's British.
Mm-hmm. But he speaks so well American.
What?
It's he speaks nuts. American?
English. The
American English.
The American English is what I'm trying to say. Don't look at me that way, Maestro. How dare you?
Too late.
Which dialect of American English?
Absolutely.
Southern dialect?
No.
Y'all?
Not y'all. Not y'all.
Doesn't have that.
Ebonics dialect?
See? This is getting real racist. the generic American. When I first heard House speak in his normal tongue, I was tripped out.
Yeah, what the hell?
What kind of fake accent is he pulling right now?
You suck at that accent, man.
That's natural.
I cannot believe that.
Right.
Last bit of news. Sony announces that there will be at least 4 Amazing Spider-Man films in total. We got a sequel, part 2, coming out, I believe, next summer with Jamie Foxx
as Electro
and Paul Giamatti as the Rhino.
Ooh.
And it's supposed to set up the Goblin for the third one.
Okay.
So they've announced there's going to be at least 2 more. What are your thoughts on more Spider-Man?
I want to make my own Spider-Man movie.
Oh boy.
I don't think that's a good idea.
No, everybody else is doing it.
I just think that I think that the whole bit about Tobey Maguire from the original Spider-Man's movies that they made were really, really just not good for him. I mean, like they casted him wrong compared to Peter Parker. The real Peter Parker is such a like smart ass that Tobey Maguire just couldn't live up to it. And this new kid his got everything, at least down packed in that sense.
Yeah. I haven't seen the new one, to be honest, but I'll
slap you.
Okay. Great. But what I did think, kind of what you were saying, as far as who played Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire, I feel like Topher Grace would have been a much better Spider-Man. He played Venom in the later
part
one.
Three.
Yeah. I feel like he would have fit the bill better for Spider-Man just because of his attitude, the way he carries himself is more
smart-ass believable. Attitude.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire was too much dorky.
Yeah.
Too dorky for me.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know Peter Parker's not, you know, but he's supposed to be a smart-ass type of guy.
Yeah.
Mixed with dorkiness.
But there was too much.
You can't have all dorkiness.
Yeah, there was too much dorkiness. Even when Tobey Maguire was trying to be a little smart-assy, it wasn't believable.
It was laughable. When he got all, in the Venom one, the same thing. When he got all like dark and crazy.
Oh, the emo?
Yeah.
Peter Parker?
Oh my gosh.
I could not believe that. It was like, this is so, she's trying so hard to be.
Didn't he do like the staying alive walk or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He had a dance sequence too.
That's ridiculous. Come on.
No, but I haven't seen the newer one, so I don't know how I feel about the other ones, but
it's, I have it if you want to watch it.
It's going to make
pretty
money.
Good.
It's going to make money.
Spider-Man. I mean, you're going to have every little kid wanting to go see the Amazing Spider-Man.
Did they say anything about like Spider-Man being part of the Avengers at any point?
The funny thing is Marvel's owned by DC, but the movie rights are split among studios. So the Avengers squad is owned by Disney. Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, all those guys. Yeah. But Fox owns Spider-Man and the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. So while they technically exist in the same comic book universe in the world of film, they're completely in different universes.
Wasn't it true that they made Spider-Man just because they had to?
Yeah, they were going to lose the rights to Sony was going to lose the rights to Spider-Man to Disney, so they had to pump one out, which is why we have a Spider-Man movie like 3 years after the third.
Yeah, and I feel like that's why I didn't watch it because I remember hearing that like this is forced. It's like a political move almost.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it wasn't going to be that good.
So it's like how good could it really be?
Yeah, I mean they're not doing it because they want to. They have to in order to preserve their financial.
In order to say fuck you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I guess I didn't watch it.
It's my ball.
It was good. It was good. I liked it. There was some pretty dumb parts.
My ball. You don't get to play with my ball.
That's fine. You have one ball?
He's going to take it and go home.
I'm going to take my ball and go home.
All right.
My goodness.
Moving on.
See, he's like an inverted wrench now.
We are we're done with news. Now on to the piece de resistance.
Hey ho.
Our movie of the week is Jurassic Park.
Love it.
1993's Jurassic Park, directed by, who do you think directed this movie? Any guesses, anybody?
Steven Spielberg? Mm.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding.
I want to say Steven Spielberg.
He already gave the
answer. We got a winner.
Ding, ding, ding. I'm sorry. Was there another guy here?
Steven Spielberg. Yeah.
Directed by Steven Spielberg, starring.
I guessed that.
Damn.
Samsonite.
Wait a minute. George Lucas didn't do this. Holy shit. Thank goodness.
Mm.
Directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Sam Neill, the Jeff Goldblum, Laura Dern, Richard Attenborough, bunch of annoying kids and some other people. Sammy J.
Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson. Young Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, well, he still had the hair.
Maestro.
What?
What is Jurassic Park about? Give me the simple
the full run log.
Hold on. Before you do that, I saw something really funny. You said Samuel L. Jackson. I saw something really funny on Facebook the other day. It's a picture of Samuel L. Jackson. He says, the L in Samuel L. Jackson stands for motherfucker. Samuel L. Motherfucker Jackson.
All right.
Sorry. Had to go. Okay. Tell us about Jurassic Park.
Synopsis, please.
Yes.
You guys are horrible.
Okay. The basic synopsis about it is this. Ever since biochemistry has gotten to the point where they actually can do cloning, they can do certain types of chemical gene therapy, they've created a way to bring back the dinosaurs back to life from things that in the past, fossilized blood, basically.
Right. Fossilized blood. Mosquitoes.
Exactly. So there's this island out in, I guess, the Galapagos. I don't know where. Anyways.
Puerto Rico or Costa Rica.
Yeah,
Costa Rica.
Okay, One of those Ricas.
One of those Costas.
Right. Where this philanthropist of amazing amounts of money decides to create a an island full of dinosaurs, bringing them back to life and to the world for them to see. Unfortunately, just like they weren't supposed to be with us for this time, they're causing trouble now. So the whole synopsis of the story is what happens when dinosaurs attack, pretty much.
And madness ensues.
Madness ensues.
Bunch of madness. So this is a free forum. Anything you want to talk about Jurassic Park?
Fake dinosaurs in there. There are fake dinosaurs. There's one dinosaur they made up that's not even real. It's in there.
That can't be true.
Yes. Yes.
Which one?
Who?
I believe it's the one dinosaur that sneezed on the girl, I think.
The spitter?
Yeah. No.
Oh, when they're in the trees.
Yes, I believe.
Oh, isn't that supposed to be a brontosaurus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brachiosaurus.
Oh, brachiosaurus.
Doesn't
exist.
I don't think the brachiosaurus is the one that doesn't exist.
Oh.
I think what happens is they had a brontosaurus body, but they changed the head itself from a different dinosaur.
There's different kinds. I mean, there's the alpatosaurus, which is also kind of one of those brontosaurus types.
A little bit like the alpacasaurus?
Maybe that's what I'm talking about. But there's different mutations. I don't know if it doesn't exist. I want to call bullshit on you just because.
You guys are now experiencing the essence of chaos is what you're experiencing chaos. Right now. It's chaos.
That was a huge theme also based on our good friend Malcolm.
Yes.
Played by
Jeff Goldblum. The Jeff Goldblum.
I love this movie, even though you can literally pick it apart scene by scene. Starting off with the beginning when they pull that cage of the velociraptors up to the containment.
Yes.
And the light turns green and it's all locked in there. Okay, it's locked. How the hell does it come detached to suck that guy up? It is locked.
Right.
Okay, get better fucking equipment if you're going to be messing with the velociraptor.
They had a crane that was lifting the thing down. Just fucking drop the thing in his cage. What the fuck are you doing connecting shit?
Yeah, I mean... Okay, so that was the first thing I noticed.
Well, I have a similar problem with the exact same scene. Everything else later on in the movie, anyway, is automated.
Mm-hmm.
Why they had to have a guy lift the gate?
Yeah,
they had this one guy. He was lifting the gate. Everything else has been automated, and everything else is mechanical. But they had to have him lift the gate for him to then get sucked in or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of gripes about this movie. Because, and I like to complain about everything. I don't have a lot to complain about this movie. Watching it again, I had to force myself to find things to complain about. And that was the first thing I saw was manual gate lifting.
Yeah. 2 minutes
well,
in.
I will tell you what I really enjoyed. One of the things that I did note right off the bat was it didn't take a long time to get into the action of the dinosaurs. I mean, within the first 15 minutes you're seeing, they're on the island, Brachiosaurus. You know, he's like, they're all dumbfounded, mouth wide open, eyes wide.
Yeah.
Open, you know, just like, oh, dinosaurs. Growing up, come on, love dinosaurs.
Absolutely.
I was a dinosaur fanatic, you know.
As all male boys.
Absolutely. So to actually just put yourself in their position and be like, holy shit, a fucking dinosaur, you know, was just amazing. And I'm so glad it didn't take like half the movie to see a fucking dinosaur.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the majority of it was supposed to be about dinosaurs anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's what was so appealing about it is because you actually saw the dinosaurs.
And speaking of seeing them, even in, I think, current day, the way that they portrayed dinosaurs was so much better than other movies that I've seen. As far as the graphics.
So much better. It was unrealistic.
Yeah, what do you call it? The animatronics of the whole thing. It was done amazing. Yeah,
it's definitely a lot better than Land of the Lost.
Oh, yeah.
The old TV show.
Right.
What they did was...
Land Before Time either. Whoa.
When they have a... when you have a dinosaur from afar, that's CGI.
Yeah.
But when it's close up, it's animatronics.
Yeah.
So they use the combination of both, and it still holds up.
Oh, absolutely.
It still looks good. And this was 93. This was 20 years ago.
You know, I love some of the lines in the movie, you know. We went off on this before we even decided to do this movie, you know.
Dotson.
We got Dotson here. Dotson. See, nobody cares, you know. It's like.
Don't get cheap on me, Dotson.
Exactly. You know, I mean. The dialogue, it was really awesome. There was some cheesy lines in there, you know.
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah, you know, but that was my first gripe, and that was probably within the first 5-10 minutes of the movie.
Adam, you mentioned the automated thing.
Yeah.
There's going to be a recurring theme throughout this episode.
All right, beautiful.
And it's going to be called...
Raptor Legs?
And it's going to be called Spared No Expense.
Okay.
John Hammond says...
Said it 5 times.
John Hammond says, spared no expense for everything in this park. First one. Oh, we have everything electronic hooked up to this amazing network. Spared no expense. We have a manual. A guy
he paid that guy a lot of money to pull
to
that.
Open that door.
He paid that guy a lot of money.
Spared no expense.
Also, by not sparing expense, he also hired a bunch of guys from Home Depot to work for the game. There was a bunch of Mexican laborers that were doing the whole thing at the beginning. I understand it's in Costa Rica, so maybe it's what's local.
Yeah.
But sparing no expense. Does not mean.
Were you talking about the miners that were actually in there digging up the fossils?
The whole opening scene was a bunch of the Hispanic guys from Home Depot, I assume.
That is what I want to talk about.
Okay.
The whole essence of getting the DNA is you're digging in one spot in Costa Rica and you're finding these mosquitoes
in amber,
right? What are the fucking odds that you get the same amount of mosquitoes that happens to have dinosaur DNA of the most popular dinosaurs ever, and you find them all in one location. Well, I think that's where everywhere throughout the world.
So the thing about it is this. I think the only reason why they showed that to you is because the main person was there to talk to them about for that specific scene.
Oh, okay.
They could have had multiple other cases
like digging sites.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Now, about the explanation, I think they explained it very well.
Yes.
As far as I bought the
premise. A little kid could understand what they were talking about.
And it made sense. In a weird sci-fi way, it made sense.
They used a cartoon DNA worm, dude.
Yeah, that was funny. But the thing about it also that probably fills in the gaps here is a mosquito will suck blood from any dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
So they got this thousands and thousands of codes of DNA from all kinds of dinosaurs. So they had these people working on it to maybe organize it. And then fill in the rest with the frog amphibians, which also was a bad idea. We'll find out later.
Yeah.
So maybe they have all the DNAs from maybe one mosquito. Maybe it's multiple dinosaurs from that one mosquito that they got.
Yeah.
So it could be different locations. And I bought into this premise full line and sinker. And that's why I think the movie is so great. Because for me to buy a premise is very difficult. It's very difficult for me to buy the premise. And
it is.
I got it.
Okay.
The way they explained it was so well done that okay, this is real. Let's continue.
Okay, so the main thing I didn't like about it was all the dinosaurs, well, except for like maybe two of them, all the dinosaurs were actually not correct.
Oh.
Like, for instance, the one that spits?
Yeah.
Dilophosaurus.
Dilophosaurus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no proof to say that it can spit. There's no proof whatsoever. No show of any glands that actually have a poison spit at all. Number two, the Brachiosaurus, the way the body is set up, supposedly cannot rear on their hind legs.
That might have been a different one, though.
Velociraptor.
That was Apatosaurus, I think, at the beginning, wasn't it?
Spinosaurus, whatever. Anyway. They actually have a Spinosaurus. So anyway, the third one is this. The Velociraptors are not supposed to be that big. They're the tallest they ever got.
3 to 4 feet?
Yeah, 3 to 4. Less than a meter, or that's about it.
Is that right?
Yeah. They're chickens. Big turkeys. That's all they were.
And in here, they were like 6-7 feet tall.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they're so awesome.
Right.
These are genetically engineered, by the way. So I guess they can be taller.
I guess if you feed them hormones and freaking steroids.
You know what I found really funny in this movie? Watching this as a kid, I was amazed. I was like, oh my God, this is so great. I haven't seen this movie since I was probably a teenager. Now that I'm watching it and I'm nitpicking little things, I'm like, holy shit, like I never caught that. So remember the scene where the egg, it's a velociraptor baby?
Yeah.
So you have Dr. Grant. Who has a fucking hard on for raptors.
Yeah.
He holds the baby. He's like, what species is this? You carry on a fucking velociraptor claw and you're obsessed with finding raptors and you don't know what a fucking baby raptor looks like?
Well,
in his defense, and I believe in there, he said, what species did you say this was? He was kind of looking at it going, I saw the look in his eyes like, what species did you say this was? He said, velociraptor. He's like,
You bred raptors.
You know, it's like, come on.
Maybe it was disbelief.
Okay, let me tell you. Yeah. Okay, if you have a baby velociraptor and a baby T-Rex, they're all going to look the fucking same coming out of an egg.
But what didn't have its claws?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Maybe it's like a Dalmatian. It doesn't develop its spots until later.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like.
Is that true?
Well, Dalmatians are all white when they're born.
Yeah, for instance, humans, all babies' noses actually don't protrude. They all actually stick up at the beginning. So they can actually suckle.
Break the shell.
Exactly. No. Humans.
Oh. Were you hatched out of?
Huh?
Hey, Lady Gaga, what's going on?
I was hatched.
Okay. But certain aspects of the child change over time.
Yeah.
When they hit adolescence, puberty, and testosterone into the body. Same thing can go for animals as well. Like, for instance, cows, they grow their horns after a later time. They don't actually grow them at childhood.
Right. Now, as you're speaking of the expectations of these people, that you were saying Grant was all like, oh, this is a raptor type of thing? I had the same reaction to John Hammond first getting to the island. When he first arrived, he got off the helicopter, and he got off like, oh, my God, this is amazing. This is the best place. He had this such, like, swelling pride. He should have been living there for, like, the past year and a half. Getting to know this place. But he walks off a plane like this is his first time ever being there. Like, this is awesome. Look at all this amazingness. And he had excitement throughout the entire thing, which I can understand to a certain point. This is something you're passionate about. But at a certain point, you get used to being there and seeing all these things, to have that level of excitement every single time. He was there for the birth of every dinosaur. But then when this one comes out, he's like has a hard-on about it.
Well, maybe it's because he's maybe a dinosaur.
He's a dinophile?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe the fact that he's there, it just makes, it's like, I'm home, you know?
Okay.
I have a question about John Hammond. Yeah, well, I thought about this at the very end.
Did you spare no expense?
I spared no expense thinking of this thought.
All right.
So the whole premise of the lawyer is the lawyer represents the shareholders, the stockholders, yes. and the investors.
Yes. Right.
So because this guy died in the beginning, they're unsure on how safe the park is. So they send the lawyer in to you know, research and investigate. So when shit goes down, how much fucking money did he lose from this park? Like, wouldn't the shareholders just vote him out of his own company? Like, would it, like, can you imagine how much money he lost trying to build this park? He must have put at least $1 billion in this.
At least.
Buying your own private island, all that security, staff, everything.
And did he, I don't believe he bought the island. They were renting the island off of Costa Rica.
That's still a lot of money.
Yeah, but spared no expense.
Spared no expense.
So he only rented it at no expense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But that's not really sparing no expense. Renting. You know,
true.
People should buy it.
True.
Yeah, of course. Unless, of course, the whole means why he couldn't get an island at all. So this is the closest he can get. So I guess that's an expense. I guess. I don't know.
There was, not to move on, but there's one scene that's really, really, really pissed me off because there was a lot of flaws in this scene.
What is it, Dawson?
When they get on the little tour and it starts to, the Jeeps break down.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
First off,
when they go into that part where the T-Rex is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a big break in the freaking electric fence, okay?
So is there?
Yeah, yes. When they come out of the tunnel, there's no electric fence coming out of the tunnel. It's like, done.
Yeah.
Okay. So either they modeled the T-Rex after Meet the Robinsons, and he's just a stupid T-Rex. I got these big legs and little bitty arms, you know, stuff like that. But what really pissed me off is you go through that scene, T-Rex, boom, right there. You see his legs and everything, and he eats the goat and everything, mm-hmm. okay, when everything fails.
Yeah.
When the hell did the ditch come in where the freaking truck falls like 100 feet down? You know, it's like, holy shit.
Yep.
You know, it's like such a big flaw.
I had the same thing too because he was at eye level with them or ground level.
Yeah,
and then all
exactly.
of a sudden, that dip is there. Unless he was standing on top of the trees or something. Which
is pretty limber.
Seriously, a lot of balance.
Like, how is he even able to climb up that like weird imaginary magical ditch that appears out of nowhere?
Yeah.
Does he use his like really tiny claws to come up there? Or do you use those like little those meme pictures where they actually have those like retractable claws that he can actually?
Or maybe he had a grappling hook.
Yeah.
There's another thing about that scene I want to talk about.
Okay.
I never noticed this until now. When they get into the park, in the T-Rex part.
Yes.
The driver's side is on the left side of the cage. So when they come back around, the driver's side is on the right side.
Well,
I was
hold
like,
on.
Wait a minute, they fucking turn all the way around?
Yes, well that's possible.
Why don't they just get the fuck out of the
because
ride? Because
earlier they go by the T-Rex cage and nothing's there.
Yeah,
and so they're coming one way, and on the way back maybe is when the scene happens.
On the way back,
but if it's on a rail, how?
Maybe there's a U-turn section.
Oh, okay.
It's possible. I like where you're coming from. I like where you're coming from.
But we have a possible solution.
But there's possible there. Now, as far as that scene goes, that to me was by far my favorite scene of the entire movie.
Oh, when the T-Rex first shows up.
Oh yeah. I'm not saying I didn't like the scene. It's just when I saw it this time as a kid, I didn't pay any attention to what I saw this time.
Right.
But this time I'm actually watching it to analyze it. And I'm like, whoa, wait, hold on a second.
And I'm starting to already find a problem with this podcast. Because we're watching movies and now we're nitpicking. You see.
What are we not supposed to do?
Yeah. But like I said, even watching it this time, I got sucked in so well that I missed a lot of things that I probably should have nitpicked because it was just done so well that I was pulled into the Jurassic Park world.
No, I love this movie.
Yeah.
No matter how much I can nitpick this movie or what I found that I couldn't explain or is unexplainable, I would watch this movie over and over again.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely. And the thing that they did very well, I think, was suspense in general.
Yes,
there was a lot of very good suspense scenes. The whole T-Rex thing with the glass, the water in the glass was the rippling effect. And then also the same thing when the T-Rex was coming again in the T-Rex footprint, nonetheless, rippling effect. Great suspense. The whole scene where they're climbing down the electrical fence when the guy's coming down,
and you don't know if the car is gonna.
No. That one too as well. Oh, nope. See, there's a problem. I have a problem with that scene.
Shit. My bad.
I'll get back to the suspense.
That boy should have been dead.
No, the way the car came down the tree, it should not come straight down the tree. It should hit a branch and then topple forward away from the tree.
I have even more about that. If you look at that scene, the branches are only growing on one side of the fucking tree. So why not, instead of climb down really quick, Why not move to the other side of the tree?
But that's a problem in all movies, with Indiana Jones even, away from the
which
boulder.
Which I watched yesterday.
All right, step to the side. Step to the side, away from the boulder. Don't run away from the boulder. Step to the side, let it pass
hey,
you.
Hey, when the boulder's coming down, why not go the way the boulder's going and then let it pass over you?
That's what I'm saying. Same thing. The car is coming down from the tree.
Yeah.
Shimmy to the right and let the car fall. Don't try to outrun the fucking car.
Let me just hit you with that. That would screw up the whole suspense of that scene.
Absolutely.
Think about it this way, Adam.
No. The
majority of the people are not exactly bright.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a fucking archaeologist.
Hold on.
Are you talking about people like the audience or the people in the movie?
Both.
Okay.
But think about it this way. The girl, why does she take out the flashlight and start waving it? Why?
She's dumb.
Why? I mean, like, first things first. I mean, any person would know.
She's just a dumb hacker, dude.
A
dumb, super smart hacker.
No, and here's the thing, though. When you're a kid and you're in that situation. When you're a kid and you're in that situation, things aren't connecting.
I guess that's all
true. You're not thinking very well.
Because that kid got all fucking stupid, too, the boy.
The boy who knows everything about dinosaurs, read almost every book. Okay, but here's the thing. If that truck did not come down that tree that way, it would not set up the line.
We're back
or
in the
at
car.
The bottom. Well, at least we're out of the tree.
Yeah, no. Well, we're back in the car. Yeah, at least we're out of the tree.
At least we're not in the tree. Yeah.
So it sets up a line for later. But the thing about it is this. How come it took 5 to 8 minutes to turn off a light?
5 to 8 minutes of film time.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Maybe 5 to 8 minutes of film time.
The on switch is in one place.
I bet you that whole scenario and everything that took place right there was probably no more than maybe a minute and a half.
True.
So you're telling me they did several different things worth 8 minutes long within that first minute?
No, because
it's cutting back and forth between Malcolm and Grant.
I understand. It's just that what I'm saying is that they literally took forever to turn off the light with the clip of the two kids trying to turn off the light.
True. Yeah, but that's part of the suspense.
Then again, if the light was turned off, you wouldn't have that epic scene where the T-Rex comes down and the light's shining right in his eye
and his pupils dilate.
That was so phenomenal. Cool. Yeah. I'm so glad they didn't miss that.
Yeah, that's so good.
So basically, what you're trying to say. Is that you need a stupid person in the movie to create such great clips.
Okay. Yeah. Now, every movie I'm pretty sure has a stupid person.
But this level of stupid in this movie, I find believable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Versus, as I said earlier, Dumb and Dumber level of stupid is like unbelievable. This level of stupid, because in that situation, there's a fucking dinosaur, dude. It's a fucking dinosaur. You're not thinking straight. You're trying to first grasp the concept. That's a fucking dinosaur.
I have a question about the T-Rex.
Yeah.
I don't want to nitpick or anything, but
no. Sure.
Dr. Grant says, don't move.
Right.
He senses things through movement.
Yeah.
Can they smell like the prey in front of them? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't a dinosaur have a good sense of smell or something to say, you're not moving, but I can fucking smell something's right here.
Well, that's the thing about it though. That's why he didn't really leave. But the thing about it is this, what they based upon it was the genes from birds.
Mm.
Oh. No, these are frogs.
I understand that.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is,
something about that. What they
were talking about is the dinosaurs themselves were set up as
they were more like birds than reptiles.
Like that's Grant's whole book. That was his whole book was about. Heard in the movie, you talked about that.
Yeah. The thing about it is, I know you add the amphibian DNA to what parts? Who knows? It doesn't necessarily have to be the parts where the genes where they actually have like the whole smell.
But wasn't the T-Rex not a really smart dinosaur anyway?
Mm-mm. Pea-sized brain.
It had a pea-sized brain.
Yeah. Well, majority of the dinosaurs didn't really have very big brains anyway.
Yeah. I think the only dinosaur that they really portrayed as being really smart in this movie was the Velociraptor.
Which is not even real.
Hold on a second.
3 feet, 3 feet tall feathers.
Okay.
With feathers.
No, I'm not talking about their stature.
A Velociraptor exists.
A Velociraptor does exist, but
not the way they're portrayed.
As far as how smart they were. Yeah. They were pack hunters.
Opening doors, though. Come on.
Oh, yeah. That was.
That one scene, though, in the kitchen, so good as far as suspense goes.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, and the raptor ran right into the other end when she was trying to close it. That was.
Was she tricked him?
On accident.
Accidentally tricked him.
One thing I want to say, I don't want to jump ahead because to a completely different movie, but did you guys see The Lost World Jurassic Park?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So in Jurassic Park 1, the raptors are supposed to be intelligent. They figure out how to open doors.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can, looks almost like they can reason things.
Right.
In part 2, they made them fucking idiots. Like the little black girl is a gymnast, right?
Oh my God.
And it's chasing Jeff Goldblum. And she goes, "Hey, you!" And the fucking raptor turns his head. He goes, "Whoa!" And then bam, she hits him out the window. I was like, what the fuck?
That,
how?
Okay, yeah, not to jump, but in that movie, that was my turn-off movie.
Well, see, so
I think about the, as far as there's a parts in movies where I just,
does that mean the raptor
out.
Knows English?
Like, yeah.
Hey, no, you. But I think it's more of a distraction thing. I mean, you can be the smartest guy and somebody's going to say, hey, you, and you're, it's an instinct thing.
I guess.
You're going to turn your head.
But we understand English. You see. Raptors understand that. This is a different language they talk altogether. If you hear.
But no, it's hey, not you. That. It's, you know, dogs don't understand English, but
it's where they're in trouble.
Yeah.
But you know, if you make noise and stuff like that, you're going to catch their attention. So maybe it's not so much that they understood, hey, you, Velociraptor, yeah. Henry, look over here. You know, I don't think they understand that shit, but right. If somebody's making a noise that catches their attention, yeah. You're going to turn.
The thing about it is this, considering that Velociraptors are predatory species, them just turning their heads like that, it doesn't seem like responding the right way.
Right.
A raptor, when he hears something that comes from the opposite end, would either jump immediately. Like, you know how a cat does when something hits them in the back of the head? They jump, literally.
But they're more bird-like, not cat-like.
Fine. Have you ever seen a bird do anything like that? Because I have.
All right, but this is
I've also seen a bird turn their head.
They didn't
want
to jump out.
This is not Jurassic Park.
Pretty bird. Pretty bird.
Back to the first Jurassic Park. With the suspense thing. The suspense was great. Like I was talking about earlier, the electrical fence, when they had to come down.
And she's pressing all the buttons.
And she's pressing the buttons. But.
She did it really slow.
She did it so that was a complaint about that. your life is in your hands at this point.
I'd be like, boom, 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 do, 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 done. You know?
Flip them all at the same time. It's like, it should be like a brrrr.
Yeah.
Drag your fingers down instead of.
Like when you're in an elevator and you want to just fuck with somebody and you just hit every freaking button.
Yeah. But the suspense was great because it built it so well when he was trying to climb down the fence. And then he got shocked with 10,000 volts of electricity and managed to fly right into Grant's arms.
Who? Grant was right underneath him.
Yeah.
Went.
So I don't know how far he flew at that point, but suspense, I think, is the biggest thing about this movie that makes it stand out than anything else.
Well, that's the thing about it was Steven Spielberg, the suspense has always been really good. I mean, like, you've seen every movie he's made. The buildup is incredible.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then you look up, but I mean, he could probably turn like a so-so movie into a spectacular one just by touching it or like sitting next to it.
You know, it's a good suspenseful one in a Spielberg movie. Have you guys seen Munich?
Yes.
Remember the scene where the bomb's in the phone?
Yes.
And the little girl runs back in there and they're answering. She's like, hello, hello. And they have to fucking run to the guy and the guy's slowly taking the thing off. That was a good scene.
Yeah.
So he can do suspense.
Yeah.
But back to Jurassic Park.
No. Yeah. Now, a part of the suspense or part of the action, I think, was they utilized bushes a lot. There was a lot of moving bushes to portray what was happening without seeing it happening.
Mm-hmm.
During the raptor scene, when they first saw the raptor and they destroyed that cow, that seemed a little cartoonish. But later on, you see the same kind of bushes moving to kind of illustrate.
They were consistent.
Yeah, it was consistent. It was consistent. So it was good when the scene that you liked the most, where it's like, shoot her!
Oh, yeah. You see little pieces of it through the cage. You don't see the full, like, dinosaur.
Yeah, you see the eye. And,
and it helps build the suspense so much, which I can't say enough. Suspense in this movie was phenomenal. Now, the main problem that I have with it was the way that everything happened with Newman. what do you know his real name? The guy that played Newman?
The actor's name?
Yeah.
It's Wayne Knight. But Wayne in the movie, Knight. He's Dennis Nedry.
Dennis Nedry, right. He was charged with stealing the DNA, the embryo DNA, in order to get paid like $1.5 million, which seems real low.
But this is 1993.
I know, but even for that much risk.
Yeah.
It just seems low. But so he has this whole plan where he's going to steal the DNA. He has he has a system set up where he's going to like black out certain parts of it so he can steal.
He has an 18-minute window.
Right, 18-minute window.
Where it's just one guy that can do all this, by the
right.
way.
Spared no expense.
No expense.
On this one guy.
I'm going to entrust one guy to handle my security.
By the way,
IT.
A guy that's complaining about how much he's getting paid.
Yes.
He's not getting paid enough.
So you didn't spare enough expense.
There's some expenses spared there, my brother. Right.
No, that just means he's a horrible negotiator.
Right.
Oh.
Oh, true. But the problem with the whole thing in general is the timing that he chose to do this was when there's more people on the island than ever before. Maybe like
no,
2 days prior, Grant wasn't there, Malcolm wasn't there,
the kids
weren't there.
No. The reason why is because people were leaving to get off the island. The whole maintenance crew was. Only the skeleton crew was left.
They were leaving the island. Remember the whole thing with the boat? Make sure you get on the boat by 6:30. That's because they kept announcing it.
The only thing that was left on the island was just skeleton crew. That was it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess I missed that part then.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he couldn't do it when all the scientists were actually in there with the embryos mm-hmm. and stuff like that. He had to do it when they vacated the scientist area, the labs mm-hmm. and whatnot, mm-hmm. scientist area.
Very good point. Very good point. So, all right. I withdraw my complaint. However,
there's always a however.
However, the way he chose to do this, I feel like he didn't have to. If the system that was set up was so high tech, why does he have to shut off the gates, the raptor cage, and all this stuff? You just black out the cameras and be done with it. Cameras are done, blacked out.
The main reason why is because if he does open up the door, it trips an alarm of some sort. And it's also, all the doors are electrified as well because they're open to certain areas.
But hopefully the door to the kitchen is not hooked up to the raptor cage.
Good point. but they're also, they're set up in sections though. True, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Kitchen, embryo cells.
Yeah.
Raptor cage.
Yes. No.
Circuits.
No. Did you fall asleep at that part?
No.
the thing about it is they had to turn the whole system off to reboot it because there was a, he said the way he set it up was so.
Okay. All right. No. Good point. Raptor cage was shut off when they reboot the system. But how about the T-Rex cage? That was before the reboot. The T-Rex fence was shut off while he was doing his hokey poking in the embryonic system.
That's how he got out.
Yeah. It's probably part of the system in the section because it's set off.
Then expense was spared for the system then. T-Rex cage, embryonic chamber. Separate circuits, separate electrical wiring altogether.
Understandable, but he also has to get from the embryonic cage all the way back to the boat.
Does he have to pass through the T-Rex cage?
The area, yes.
Okay,
not so he turns off the security cage to protect him when he gets to the boat.
All right, so I'm going to shut down the most dangerous beast on this island so I can pass through.
No, I know the answer to this.
Okay.
Right, supposedly, please. There's a magical ditch. So it holds him over, they hold that T-Rex.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right. But he turned off the power, so it came back. That's what happened.
But he also, at the same time, turned on the T-Rex elevator, which brought him up to its own level. You see?
The fence gets turned off, but the elevator gets turned back on.
Yeah.
See? All right, all makes sense now.
So Samuel Jackson is supposed to be another computer guy, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he have figured out, like, hey, he did. Shit's going down?
No, well, he did, but a little bit too late.
No, actually, the little girl figured it out.
Right. The hacker that was...
The hacker.
Ugh. It's a Unix system. I know this.
Yeah. Oh, the technology is so dated in this.
It is.
Remember when she first came to the Jeep? Holy smokes, it's an interactive CD-ROM.
By the way,
oh my God. What is fucking X-Wing Starfighter on there?
Well, no, it's kind of funny because I actually had somebody point this out to me, which I probably wouldn't have caught on my own, but when Nedry was actually talking to the guy on the docks, that is actually
it's a video
player.
It's not a live feed.
Yeah, it's not a live feed.
It's a video player.
He's not looking at a...
You see the little scroll bar.
Yeah, you see the little play bar in the bottom.
I noticed that. I did notice that as well. Yeah. That tripped me out.
Considering this, though, I mean, like, this is after quite a few years of us in, like, the...
We're jaded now.
Yeah, we already
with
know
the shit
about
we can
kind
of, do. Yeah. Yeah. Just our phones.
Our own movies now.
Yeah, exactly. I could shut down the electrical system on my iPad here.
I'm saying back
unlock
then.
Your door.
I'm saying back then, not many people actually had the availability to do that kind of stuff on
But I mean, like we were saying earlier, the first time that this movie came on that I first saw it, amazing, no complaints whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Not until I had to go back for this podcast to be like, now I got to pick it apart. I was still forcing myself to find things about it. And one thing I didn't notice as a kid was John Hammond is a sexist. I didn't realize that. I didn't catch that earlier in the movie. The first time I was watching it, where the girl, I forget her name,
Sadler.
Yeah,
Professor Sadler. Yeah.
No, she was some sort of paleontologist or something. I don't know. I forget what
she was. Professor Sadler.
Yeah,
her name's Sadler.
She was gonna go trip to Breakers, pass through the raptor cage, or whatever. And John Hammond was like, I think I should go because you know I'm and she's like, we'll talk about this sexist stuff later. I never caught that before. And
I took that as more of he was trying to be
make amends.
The man.
Oh, okay.
You know, no, don't do that. Let a man be a man.
That's
I don't think he was trying to be sexist. I think he was like, I should really do this because I'm a man, but I'm a pussy. So
yeah, okay. Instead of having this young nubile woman go do the thing, this old Scottish dude with the cane. He's gonna go do this entire thing.
He spared no expense.
Come on. Is that really better?
Spared no expense.
I have a question.
Yeah. What's that?
Before that, Samuel Jackson goes, don't worry, I'll be in and out 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You have the badass hunter. Shoot out. Send him out. Sure. He knows how to fight.
Actually, he was already gone, I think.
No.
He was still there.
He left when she left.
Yeah.
But before that, Samuel Jackson was like, I'll be in and out 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Got it.
Send this fucking guy. He's a badass. Well, he's not a badass.
You guys wait here and hold your butts.
Raptors double team.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's like, clever girl.
Clever girl.
No, and I want to talk about the frog DNA.
Oh, yes.
The frog
this
DNA.
Is something I wanted to get.
Yes, because this is a huge oversight. Huge, ginormous oversight.
What ginormous oversight?
For sparing no expense. they chose to complete the DNA strands that were missing from the dinosaurs with frog DNA. Sounds good? Sounds fine.
Was it frog DNA or amphibian?
I thought frog. It was frog.
It was frog. But the frog that they chose happened to be a frog that has been known to switch genders.
No, it's not. That's not true. They just said frog DNA. They didn't specify
what it was. Well, Alan Grant says he's assuming that, oh, well, I know there's some West African frogs that can change its sex depending on its environment.
The African bullfrog does that.
Yeah.
Okay. But hold on. Let me just put a wrench in all your guys' theory.
Oh, beautiful. Okay?
Because Jeff Goldblum's character is the essence of chaos. Right. Life will find a way.
And life did find a way.
It doesn't matter what damn amphibious frog you use. Life will find a way.
To create find a T-Rex elevator.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So yeah. He can get to the goat.
Okay, so regardless of what frog amphibious DNA was, they chose the one strand that switches sexes.
Well, that's the thing about it, though. What makes you think that it was that specific frog DNA?
Because they switch sexes.
Or it could be because it's just a frog DNA in general.
Do all frogs switch sexes?
No, what he's trying to say by the chaos theory is that the life will find a way.
Right.
Which means that evolution. You can't control it. So the mutations in the genes could have caused it to happen anyway without them knowing.
But they leave it.
Even if they used gecko DNA, or Geico DNA. You know?
Fantastic.
Life, I think, would still find a way.
At least there would have been some good news then. If it was Geico DNA.
Would have saved tons of money on my car insurance.
One of my favorite scenes is that scene where they're in the dining room.
Yeah.
And they bring him the sea bass.
Yeah.
And I just love the speech Goldblum gives where he's just like, this isn't like, an animal that, was wiped out because of, deforestation. Dinosaurs had their chance.
Right.
And Mother Nature decided to wipe them out.
Right.
And everyone's turned against me and goes, I bring you to be on my side. The only person on my side is the blood sucking lawyer.
Right.
that lawyer, he was so good as being a little weasel.
I know. Yeah.
We can charge any amount. Maybe we'll have a coupon day or something.
He was such a dick. But it embodied what you view as lawyers.
Okay, my question about this is, you remember how the old like stigma in the older movies about saying like about races that having the black guy die first in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. In this movie, the black guy dies first.
Nope, the Hispanic dude.
Nope, is he Hispanic? I couldn't tell because it's so dark.
At the beginning, at the very, very beginning,
he's Hispanic.
Yeah,
opening up the gate,
he's Hispanic. Yeah,
he's one of the Home Depot guys.
Yeah. Now I feel bad.
Yeah. Got him from the Van Nuys Home Depot.
And by the way, before that, even the lawyer dies before he does.
No.
No.
Yes. The lawyer dies before Samuel L. Jackson does.
Yeah, he does.
No, we're not talking about Samuel L. Jackson.
Who?
We're talking about I thought originally it was a black guy. It turns out to be a very dark Hispanic guy.
Oh, the guy that opened the gate manually?
Yeah.
Manually.
Emanually?
Manually opened
Emanually.
The gate.
You see, he was Hispanic.
Oh, boy.
You know what? Maybe I'm a black guy. Now that I'm thinking about it.
We'll put it on later and we'll like figure it out. Okay.
I apologize. I assumed you meant Samuel L. Jackson because that the figurehead black guy in the movie.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that
was he the only black guy?
No.
Wasn't he the only?
The reason.
Well, now it's debatable. Now it's debatable.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now it's debatable.
If we got to go. Oh shit.
Besides, what movie were we doing again?
Wait, he's the only black guy with lines.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, actually, well, I mean,
by the screaming.
The screaming.
Oh yeah.
And we don't even know if that guy was black yet.
We don't know. We don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
There's another scene I'll talk about.
Okay. All right.
Do you guys know what a Dos Ek Machina is?
Is that a beer?
Dos Equis?
Dos Machina?
Dos Ek Machina. It's Latin for God machine. In the machine.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay. Oh, Dios.
I want to call this ending the Dos Rex Machina.
All right.
Dos Ek Machina. It's a plot device whereby a seemingly unsolvable problem is suddenly and abruptly resolved. For example, the scene is you're on an airplane and they shoot the plane down and the guy jumps out. And he happens to have a parachute on him for no apparent reason. It was never set up, I carry a parachute me everywhere.
Okay.
That's a Dos Ek Machina.
All right. I'm following you already. I already know where you're going with this. I love it.
The raptors have the humans cornered.
Yeah, they do.
And out of nowhere, the fucking T-Rex walks in without making a noise.
No thumps.
Yes. No thumps. It's been established earlier in the movie that when he walks, shit moves. Water fucking moves.
Yes.
Yeah. No one hears it. Yeah. Never makes any fucking noise.
Yeah.
And then it just grabs a raptor. I'm like, what?
Quite true. But
This actually happens in movies a lot.
He's very, very sneaky.
In The Dark Knight Rises, Bane's about to fucking shotgun Batman, and the bat pod rolls in, not making any noise.
Yeah.
Bam! This happens in movies a lot. I guess
Interesting.
Stuff don't make noise when in the moment.
Right.
Well, I guess when it comes.
And how did it fit through the doors? Isn't this thing a fucking
it was
monster?
Huge.
Good point.
Yeah.
Broke it through the fucking doors.
Clever. Hey, but you know what? They did do a good thing. I loved it at the end where he's like, rah! And the banner comes down.
When dinosaurs ruled the world.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a cool scene.
That was awesome.
That was epic. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Now I'm the Dos Rex Machi.
I like that.
Let's think about it this way, though. I mean, like, they were actually on top of the T-Rex bone structure when the Velociraptors were trying to get them. And all things were falling down, breaking and everything. There was a lot of noise, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And because they're suspended in air, there's a possibility they couldn't feel this vibration.
No. They were on the ground already.
Oh, no. I'm just saying when he got in.
So he just stood there?
No,
he gets in.
He just
stood there?
He got in while the stuff was falling.
All I'm saying is this, because this is a very big building at the very beginning. My guess is if you get into a museum, there's this one end where he's probably walking in because he hears the commotion or he smells it or something like
and
that.
And then he like bursts into the room because actually in that scene, you see all the people just standing there. Not moving. And it's just the velociraptors that are sitting there bobbing their heads.
Okay.
And actually, they weren't the velociraptors weren't moving very swiftly either. They were kind of just sizing things up. And it wasn't until that one velociraptor charged and moved quickly did the T-Rex come in.
Yes, but that also means he was standing there. He was standing there just watching.
Let me ask you.
Enjoying the banner?
No. Here's the thing, though. If T-Rex is sitting there trying to see what's moving, because that's his sense, okay? Right. You got a velociraptor in front of you and one behind you. Are you going to see the freaking T-Rex to the left of you when you're keeping an eye on that velociraptor?
Maybe you won't see it, but you will feel the ground shaking.
Not if you just fell from the freaking ceiling.
But the things, what I'm trying to get at is this thing's a fucking monster.
Yeah.
And it fits
monster?
Through doors.
It's a beautiful
it fits
piece
through the
of
fucking
work.
Doors.
Right. So,
of a
so,
building?
So instead of hanging out in the fields with the Gallimimus galloping around, he's going to just walk into this building and just like, oh, let's see what's happening here.
I guess the thing's happening.
Wait. There's some movement.
He smelled the ice cream melting, okay?
Okay. All right. I just did a little bit of research while we guys talking about this a little bit, okay?
Okay.
I Yahoo this, all right?
Yahoo?
During the scene at the quite obvious that the building they are in not finished building wise
right.
is exactly at time whatever else have you, right? The T-Rex makes its entrance behind him around the certain time.
Right.
You can see a large opening to the outside covered over with a plastic tarp that is used for construction projects. While size-wise, he looks too large to fit through the opening, I'm thinking that's probably the best explanation. So that's probably the way how it got in, seeing that the building was not completely opened, but it could have been an access point for him.
Fine.
But you can fill, see the monster, you should be able to fill fucking
And as he tiptoed through the tarp, that's alliteration, ladies and gentlemen, tiptoed through the tarp, there's no way that they did not know, or even the Velociraptors would not know that he was there.
It's possible. I mean,
they're like they're.
Wouldn't they have sense? Holy shit! There's a bigger fucking prey behind us.
Right. Exactly.
Unless they're starving.
Instead of feeding on these little humans, this guy's gonna kill me over here. I feel like that should take preference. I can unlock a door, but I can't hear or see a T-Rex.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about a scene, and this is probably really nitpicking.
Okay.
Me and Maestro actually saw this and pointed this out when Hammond is sitting there eating the ice cream and stuff and what's the paleobotanist or whatever
Grant?
Her name is. She's on the other
Dr.
end
Sadler.
Of this really, really long ass fucking table. And all the ice cream's on Hammond's side of the table. And all of a sudden she gets up and just leans over the table and she's got a spoon full of ice cream. Does she
That's
have
true.
A really long go-go gadget arm or something like that to go all the way to the other end of the table and grab a spoonful of ice cream?
I never noticed that.
See, I didn't see it because I was too sucked in.
Yeah.
And that I think is what this makes this whole movie so awesome is that I got sucked in enough that I missed out on things.
And well, see, I never noticed any of this stuff before, but I actually had to sit down and analyze it because that was my job.
Right. But even, and you guys know how nitpicky I am about things. As nitpicky as I am, I was able to enjoy this movie even still.
Oh yeah.
Watching it again and forcing myself to find things that
Absolutely.
I do not like.
Yeah.
And that I think speaks to this movie more.
Well,
than
and that's,
else.
That's the thing, what we're saying right here. We had to really, really get nitty gritty to nitpick.
Yeah. And even though it sounds like we picked this whole thing apart, Good God, was this a great movie?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree too.
Good God.
That's a big pile of shit.
But every
sorry. I assume you're going to wash your hands after right. that?
Before you... By the way, that took me off guard when I was a kid because I was like, you just said shit. I can't believe you said shit.
Well, every movie has, there's no such thing as a perfect movie. You can nitpick
anything.
Gone with the Wind, right. Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
Just the good thing about this one is it's a good story, good suspense, good effects, which yes. still hold up 20
Absolutely.
Years later.
Yeah.
More so than stuff I see on Sci-Fi Channel. Like,
oh, yeah.
To this
oh,
day.
Gosh, yeah.
I saw a movie where there's a dinosaur walking by and I was like, what the?
It looked like it was made on a MacBook from
yeah,
like the
exactly.
90s.
Exactly. It could have been at cardboard cutouts that they just yeah. animated or something, South Park style. Good God.
But I think the cast really sells it. Everyone does a good job.
Oh. Yeah. Even Jeff Goldblum with the stuff.
He was my favorite character.
Yeah.
Me too.
Ian Malcolm.
Because I remember even after this movie, I was playing video games for this on my Super Nintendo.
And he was a playable character, wasn't he?
Yes. And also, I was PC game. You could play Jurassic Park. I think I even had a friggin' board game for Jurassic Park because I was so into it at the time. Mm-hmm. But watching it again now, there's this thing about characters that you place them in certain roles. Dr. Grant, I saw as a guy from Event Horizon. Where he's like super psychotic and yeah. it's a great horror movie. It's my favorite horror movie of all time.
Really?
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just, there were certain expressions he made that I was like, oh, he's about to steal the ship and the ship's going to kill everybody. Wait, this is Jurassic Park. Hold on. That was the only thing that pulled me out of it. Even Newman at this point, which I know him as Newman, mm-hmm. I was still able to buy him as Nedry or
Dennis Nedry.
Yeah, I was still able to buy that. So I think everybody did a phenomenal job as far as acting goes. Graphics, fantastic. Even to this day, fantastic. Suspense,
yes.
amazing. This is a great movie. It's a great, great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great, great.
That's our opinions, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Final thoughts. You don't have to take my word for it.
This is Hollywood's words of wisdom for the week for Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
What?
If you have grandkids, whatever you do, don't leave them alone with strangers. In a fucking park full of monsters.
Yeah, because the strangers will take them away.
You don't fucking know these people.
Right.
You're trusting your grandkids with people you've known an hour.
Well, he spared no expense.
He spared no expense.
Yeah. Well, he was it 3 years worth of money for
yep.
them?
Yeah.
Three years worth of money for
I guess he did pay for the babysitters pretty well, I guess.
Yeah, he paid the babysitters pretty well.
And he spared no expense with the halibut. That shit looked nice, remember?
That was a good halibut. Yeah.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
If Jurassic Park was real.
Yes.
Oh,
what do you think admission fee is?
Admission fee for it?
Just one person. I just want to go to Jurassic Park for the day. Do you think they're selling like a sample package?
Including the airfare and everything?
Airfare. Do you think they would do that? They would have to, right? Would it make sense to just not have it?
See, I don't think that if you were to go to Jurassic Park, you would actually helicopter in. I think you would actually get ferried in on the boat. I would say about $600,
$700.
Oh,
I get like a cruise.
$600.
Yeah. Okay, I get you.
$600? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I would
get ferried in and all that stuff, you know?
To see dinosaurs.
Well, did you see how big that island was?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm talking like, you know,
wow. I'm saying.
Do you think he would build a hotel on the island?
No way.
No.
No way.
No, you'd have to. You'd have to. You'd have to.
No way.
It's not a day excursion.
No way.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not something that I think a $600 fare to go do that should be at least like a 2-day thing.
In the movie, the lawyer quoted $10,000.
$2,000.
I feel like it was 10.
No, did he say said, we can charge? Oh yeah, he said something like
$2,000.
We can charge $10,000. We can charge anything we want.
Yeah, $10,000 in 93.
Okay.
In 93 was what they were
quoting. So you're saying 600 is too low?
Way too low. I'm talking about like $500,000 for this. I'm thinking $500,000 to go see fucking dinosaurs.
Dude, you're like inflation rate just skyrocketed to Disneyland.
It costs like $100,000 to go to the moon. These are fucking dinosaurs.
Adam, I think you've lost Mr. Calling. You should have been a lawyer.
$600?
All I got. That's all I would
charge whatever he wants.
That's all I would pay.
Okay. Now, it's obviously where I stand and where Cowboy stands. What do you think? What do you think, Hollywood?
I would say at least. The lawyer has a pretty good number, 10 G's. That sounds about right.
But that's 1993.
What we're talking about now?
Yeah.
That's all I got is $600, guys. I'm sorry. Fuck.
You're not going.
Show me the freaking Geico lizard. I don't care.
This is the thing about it, though. I mean, what Hammond wanted to do was show the dinosaurs to the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he can't make it too expensive that no one can go for under a certain amount of pay grade.
Right.
Which means if what they were saying, coupon day, I'm guessing, that would swamp the entire place. Mm-hmm. If people could afford it, then all people of that specific day would have to go. Mm-hmm. So there would be an issue with that as well. I would suggest probably, either a lottery for that instead.
Oh, a lotto system. Who gets in?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. Who gets in? Because there's only a certain amount of people that they can actually, watch over, make sure everything's okay. I mean, if they flood over,
five people to the gym?
Exactly. Right. I mean, there's a capacity limit to how many people they can actually protect.
It costs $600 to fly to New York. Round trip.
Yeah, this is not.
You're going to Costa Rica.
On an island full of dinosaurs.
With dinosaurs!
Well, this is the thing about the.
That's all I would pay. So, all right. I'll pay you $600, take me some damn pictures.
All right. I will, that's how much the postcards cost. $600.
For a fucking postcard.
For a fucking postcard.
Good God.
Mr. Calling.
All right.
I wish I was Dr. Hammond's freaking grandkids.
So that was our opinion of the movie.
Yeah.
We have lots of opinions, but we have zero credentials.
Right.
Now let's hear from people who actually have credentials.
Okay.
Now usually what we do is we hear good reviews, bad reviews. I could not find a bad review on Rotten Tomatoes for this
movie. Is that right?
I found nothing but good ones.
That is awesome.
I just have two of them.
Okay.
Matt Neal of The Standard says Jurassic Park. Oh, and I should mention, this is from the 3D re-release.
Oh.
So Jurassic Park is a how-to guide for structuring a multi-character disaster film. True?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very good formula to follow.
Yeah.
Michael O'Sullivan of The Washington Post says the enthralling man versus nature parable based on the late Michael Crichton's best-selling novel hasn't aged one bit.
Absolutely hasn't aged. Yeah,
he's still the same?
He died, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
he
that.
Died like 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Michael Crichton.
That's and he still bad. Looks the same?
No, the movie. Jesus Christ. So, speaking of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
This is a segment of the show where we guess, or not we, not me, I know the answer, where these three gentlemen guess the score on Rotten Tomatoes. But before we guess.
Seven time.
What is your Rotten Tomatoes score? Now, Rotten Tomatoes, for those of you who don't know, it's on a grade scale from 0 to 100%. Anything right. over 60% is fresh. Everything over 85% is certified fresh. So, in your opinion, what would your personal score be for Jurassic Park?
Or Cowboy? For critics or?
No. You. This is your personal score before we get
zero to 100, right?
Oh, that's
zero
right.
To 100.
We discuss
this any way you want.
I'm going to say a solid 87.
Okay.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I was going to say 87. I was going to say 87. Holy Christ.
High five. High five again. That was awesome. Okay, right. Go.
Me, a 94.
Okay.
You should have said 87, so we all have
fun. Oh, I was thinking about it. Honestly, right. I was thinking about it.
So our average is what, 90?
Yeah.
91 and a half.
Something like that.
92, actually.
So that's certified fresh, if this was real Rotten Tomatoes.
88.
Yeah. Now the guessing game. What do you want to guess first, the tomato meter or the audience?
Let's do the tomato meter. No, let's do the audience.
Audience first? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Let's put them first.
Cowboy. Oh, whoever wants to go first. What do you think the audience?
Oh, they probably blew it out of proportion and brought the 98, 99.
Impossible. Rotten Tomatoes is impossible to get
audience.
The higher. Yes, no, it's impossible to get the higher.
Okay, okay. 94.
I don't know much about Rotten Tomatoes, but I know that is almost impossible. As far as audience, I'm going to go with, a smarter person, myself, 87. I'm going to say 87.
Cowboy?
$1.
You can do it.
90.
83%.
Ooh. All right.
Now the critics, the tomato meter, the tomato.
So do you think that they get higher or lower than the comments?
I'm going to say 72.
No!
72 for 72 the critics.
For the critics.
Wow.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm going to go 91 for this one.
Okay.
What do we do before? Okay. I'm going to go 81.
92%.
Woo!
Critics loved it.
I said 92.
Oh, is that one?
All right, 20
72 plus 20 is 92. Oh,
exactly. Yeah, where did the 20 come from?
I don't know.
It's a cowboy factor.
Oh. Yeah.
I am a mathematician.
So awkward.
It's chaos theory, man.
Yes.
Chaos counts for 20%.
Cowboy will find a way.
Cowboy will find a way. I was just thinking the same thing.
He will find a way. Well, that's pretty much the show. Any closing thoughts on Jurassic Park?
All I have to say is Samsonite. I was way off.
No, Jurassic Park, I think, is a must-see for anybody. At any point, I don't care how old you are, this is a great movie.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen Jurassic Park in 2013, get out of your fucking cave.
Yes, wow. Absolutely.
Go out and watch it.
Wow. Yes.
I know. I mean, they probably have it on TV now. right?
Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure, yeah, it's, I'm sure it's been premiered on TV, but I mean, yeah, you can find it on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, now people have like 3D TVs, so that's going to be an awesome part too.
I've seen. Didn't they just re-release this a couple years ago,
yeah,
in 3D?
No,
yeah,
like a month or two ago.
Yeah. A month or two ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, I just saw 2 and 3 on HBO within the past like, yeah, month or two.
For the, oh, well, for the sake of the movie,
actually not as good as the first one.
Of course,
but
actually have the
sequels
box set,
are never
so
the better than the first one, man. You know that.
Die Hard 3.
Name one. Name
Die Hard
one.
3.
3. Okay, let's hear it.
Die Hard 3 was with, better than Die Hard 1.
With a vengeance?
No. Yes, with a vengeance.
No.
I did like, I liked the villain.
Who was that crappy actor that was in those
movies? Which one?
I will punch you in the face. Bruce Willis is amazing. I will punch you in the face.
I feel like number one was the best. Number two was not good.
Mm-hmm. Different director.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But still number two.
All right.
It's a sequel.
I like the villain in 3 better than 1.
Thank you.
Hans Gruber's brother.
Yeah.
I like the whole notion, Simon, of the riddles. Like, I met a man with many wives.
Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying is,
every wife has 7 cats, every cat has 7, yeah, kittens, yeah, every kitten's had 7 mittens.
Okay, okay.
Kittens, cats, sacks, and wives.
How many
were
there?
Everyone
say
knives.
One.
One.
Yeah.
Don't you have kids?
Yeah.
Samuel Jackson?
Well, yeah. Yeah. But what I'm saying though is this. The main, we're playing a different movie, but anyways, but the Bruce Willis in number one was his best Die Hard he's never made compared to every other single one.
Disagreed.
How he,
disagree.
Us, come on.
Agree.
How many times? Come back to the lane, meet some laughs, that kind of bit, the stuff he says, no shit, shit lady, I'm ordering a pizza, that kind of stuff.
All right,
yeah,
great, great.
That was hilarious.
Good. It was good. I could do a whole podcast on Die Hard.
By yourself.
But yes, by myself.
It won't be nothing but a bunch of grunting. Uh-huh.
Yeah. In fact, I do a podcast every couple days on Die Hard by myself in my room. I don't have a microphone there. I've said too much already. Jurassic Park was great.
Yes.
let's go with that.
Let's rewind.
I think it is a must-see for anybody and everybody.
Yes. All right, guys. That's the first episode of Spoilers. Peace out. This is Hollywood.
I'm Maestro.
I'm Adam.
I am Cowboy.
Bye.